This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
A fiery hearing on Capitol Hill as the CEO of TikTok testifies before lawmakers who question the Chinese government's potential influence on the app.
I still believe that the Beijing Communist government will still control and have the ability to influence what you do. And so this idea, this Project Texas, is simply not acceptable.
And why defining Made in America is key for some clean energy projects. Plus, a new report finds anti-Semitic incidents are on the rise in the U.S. It's Thursday, March 23rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. At a hearing today, House lawmakers sharply questioned Shou Chu, the CEO of TikTok, about potential Chinese government influence over the app, as well as promotion of misleading and harmful content. Chu said TikTok is committed to firewalling U.S. data from, quote, all unwanted foreign access, and that it would keep content, quote, free from any manipulation from any government. But under questioning, he also appeared to confirm that employees of the app's owner ByteDance in China currently have access to personal data on Americans. He also said U.S. concerns about safety are not only a problem for TikTok.
The potential security, privacy, content manipulation concerns raised about TikTok are really not unique to us. The same issues apply to other companies. We believe what's needed are clear, transparent rules that apply broadly to all tech companies. Ownership is not at the core of addressing these concerns.
Our tech policy reporter, John McKinnon, says it's unclear what happens next.
Well, there was a lot of fire today, that's for sure. What comes next is a little bit less clear. Congress, you know, is never very quick out of the blocks. And so we've gotten a hearing today where a lot of members expressed a lot of concern, even anger at some points, with TikTok, but it's still not clear exactly what Congress can do and perhaps more important, when it can do it.
And John says there could be possible implications for other social media companies.
I'd say there's a couple of ways they could be impacted. One of the drumbeats today was for Congress to pass expansive privacy legislation that would cover all the tech companies. That's something that lawmakers view as a long-term solution to a lot of these problems. But that's something that Congress had a good chance to do last year and didn't do it. And so it's not clear that privacy legislation has a much better chance this year. Another way that lawmakers could go after this problem is to pass legislation that would give the government more power over apps that are based in potentially hostile countries like TikTok is. And that's something that would affect TikTok and potentially a subset of apps mostly based in China that are finding their way into the U.S. internet.
The Biden administration has demanded that the app divest itself from ByteDance or face a nationwide ban. Hours before the hearing today, China said it would oppose any forced sale of TikTok, with its commerce ministry saying that any sale would involve the export of Chinese technology and therefore must be approved by the Chinese government. You can hear more about TikTok and the hearing on tomorrow's episode of The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing podcast. In other news, a Manhattan grand jury weighing former President Donald Trump's role in paying hush money to adult film star Stormy Daniels is not expected to take any action in the case today. That's according to people familiar with the matter who said the panel was expected to hear another matter not related to Trump. Since the jury does not typically meet on Fridays, any action regarding the Trump case is not likely to occur until next week at the earliest. Prosecutors have considered charging Trump with falsifying business records to hide the payment to Daniels, which was made ahead of the 2016 election, to keep her from going public with allegations that she had an affair with him. Trump has denied the affair and says he did not engage in any wrongdoing. A new report finds that anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. rose to a new high last year. The Anti-Defamation League, which measures both criminal and non-criminal events of harassment, vandalism, and assaults, recorded more than 3,600 incidents. That's a 36% increase from the previous year and the most since the ADL started keeping records in 1979. Earlier today, the Bank of England raised its key interest rate by a quarter percentage point. It's the latest sign that policymakers around the world are determined to bring down inflation despite strains in the banking system. The move comes a day after the Federal Reserve raised rates a quarter point, holding steady despite turmoil in the banking sector. And should customers who sign up for subscriptions with a few clicks online be able to cancel them just as easily? That's the hope behind a new rule proposed by the Federal Trade Commission that would require companies to offer a click-to-cancel option rather than forcing customers into lengthy phone calls to cancel. The proposal comes as more companies are offering memberships and subscription services to bring in revenue. Coming up, power companies are looking for more answers from the Biden administration on what it means to be made in America. More after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
What does made in America really mean? When it comes to green energy, the answer can be a bit complicated. Hundreds of billions of dollars in tax credits and other incentives have been earmarked for clean energy projects under the Inflation Reduction Act and hinge on the answer to that question. But so far, the Treasury Department hasn't defined what exactly qualifies as made in the U.S. That's leaving plenty of companies with a lot of questions. Here now with more is senior reporter Fred Dvorak. Welcome, Fred.
Hi, nice to be here.
So let's start by talking about the spirit of this part of the law, which is supposed to encourage domestic green energy projects and create jobs. So what exactly isn't it for power companies?
Well, power companies often will be able to get credits if enough of the projects, if it's, say, a wind farm or a solar farm, are made with domestic equipment. But it's not just bonus credits for power companies. There are various kinds of supports and incentives for domestic production all through the Inflation Reduction Act. So there are credits for manufacturers. There are tax credits that go to the buyers of electric vehicles. If those electric vehicles pass certain requirements, domestic content requirements, and it's quite a complicated issue in which everyone from steel makers to battery manufacturers to the power companies, as you mentioned, to solar panel manufacturers have an interest.
One of the challenges here, though, is that many of these companies require the use of at least some parts manufactured overseas. So what have you heard from various companies about that?
Well, let's take solar panels, for example. A solar panel can be assembled in the U.S., and some companies, especially clean energy developers, want a panel that's assembled in the U.S. to be considered made in the U.S. for domestic content purposes. But the panel is made out of all kinds of stuff. There is silicon, a very solar-grade silicon, which is made into ingots and wafers, and those are made into solar cells, which are then assembled with all kinds of other stuff, glass and aluminum, to make a solar panel. So there's a big push from companies that want to make those components, which are almost all made outside of the U.S. right now. In fact, mostly in either China or Southeast Asia. There's a huge push from companies that want to make those components in the U.S. to have those components made in the U.S. if solar developers are to get bonus credits for clean energy generation.
Does the U.S. at this time have the capacity to build those sorts of production lines?
Does it have the capacity? It takes time, it takes money, and it takes expertise. So people argue that there is money coming in, and there is a certain amount of expertise, and it can be done, but it will take time. It can't be done immediately. It will take years, and in the case of some components, several years. And the reason, one of the big reasons that these components haven't been made in the U.S. so far is it's expensive to make here. So unless there is enough incentive, enough subsidies and incentives to support that kind of manufacturing in the U.S., there is an argument that it won't come at all.
So what are the rules to access these incentives, or what do we know so far from the Treasury Department?
Well, we don't know much from the Treasury Department right now. The Inflation Reduction Act lays out some basic principles. For example, it says that iron and steel in clean energy projects should be 100% made in the U.S., but does that mean that a wind tower, for example, which is mostly made of steel, does that have to all be made in the U.S.? And there are different arguments on different sides of that. Batteries are the same, and the rules around batteries for EVs are even more complicated. So everybody is waiting for those details. The devil really is in the details. The Treasury Department is expected to come out with at least some of those details, some guidance as early as next week for EVs, batteries and sourcing, and then the rest of other kinds of domestic content rules for clean energy generation, maybe sometime in the next few months.
Is that wait for more details delaying a lot of projects?
From everything that I've been able to hear, yes, it is. I got one estimate of maybe $20 billion worth of investments on hold in clean energy generation alone. Now, that isn't all domestic, because they're waiting for domestic content guidance. There are other guidance that the Treasury Department has to come out with, but a lot of the focus is on domestic content.
Fred, what does this mean for potential investors in clean energy initiatives?
Well, they are waiting to see what it does mean. If you are an investor in a solar farm, you want to know, well, if I buy these panels made by this factory, will I qualify for a 10% bonus credit? And the economics of my solar farm will depend on that. If you are an investor in an offshore wind project, you want to know, where do I have to source my wind blades and turbines and towers? And do I have to use U.S. steel? And will there be companies that can make it during the time frame that I want to put something up? So there's so many questions that hinge on this guidance from Treasury right now.
All right. Well, we will be awaiting those answers. Senior reporter Fred Dvorak, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally, coffee drinkers, take heart. Your morning brew may not be so risky for cardiac health after all, according to a new study published in the New England Journal of Medicine. The study found that coffee consumption does not increase abnormal heartbeats associated with an increased risk of the most common heart rhythm disturbance. This doesn't mean we have the green light to drink unlimited cups of coffee, though, as there may still be other health effects. Wall Street Journal health and medicine reporter Julie Wernow has been filtering through the findings.
What the researchers found is that actually for these premature heart contractions that are the most troubling for health outcomes, coffee really didn't make much of a difference. But there were other findings that were really interesting. One was that if you drink more coffee, you tend to take more steps throughout the day. And also, coffee has a tendency to significantly lower the amount of sleep that people are getting. And so in some ways, drinking coffee is a bit of a mixed bag. One thing that people should keep in mind is that this doesn't necessarily mean that the more coffee you drink, the better it will be for your health. In fact, this study and other studies previously make it really clear that if you're drinking 5-6 cups of coffee, a lot of these health benefits sort of disappear.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
The This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.